When you make that aha moment, you gain ownership over that messaging in your mind. We're getting a little bit of a spike or like a mental sticky note in our minds to create a memorable moment.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok.
My guest today is Anders Boulanger. Here's three facts that I think you should know about Anders. One, he has performed at over 200 trade shows. I think you know something about trade shows. Two, his clients receive on average a 54% increase in leads because of how he helps them. And three, he can crack whips, throw knives, and ride a unicycle, but not all at the same time. That's a good thing. I don't want you on that unicycle when you're throwing knives around the room. Anders Boulanger, welcome to Your Intended Message.
Oh, thanks for having me back. I appreciate it, George.
Delightful to have you back again. And we talked to you a couple years ago about virtual presentations, and we gained some useful advice and tips from that. And today, let's take a look at, now that we're back in person for trade shows, what's changing in trade shows? How do you get attention? How does a company, most importantly, how do they get a decent return on their investment and money and time that they put into trade shows? What are you seeing happening at trade shows?
Yeah, well, definitely trade shows are back. They're you know, in some industries, they're back to pre-pandemic levels, and some of them are still kind of recovering, but it's definitely on a very steep trajectory, returning back to where things were. I know my first trade show back was a show that normally had 90,000 people, and there was about 20,000, which still seems like a lot of people. This is, it was December of 2021. And 2022, pardon me, George. And we still had to wear masks and everything was, you know, and it's just so hard to connect with people when you can't read their facial expressions, right? And you can't even hear maybe the tone of their voice properly because it was coming through the mask. And so now that shows have opened right back up, I am feeling it's very, very similar to how it was before, you know, and I'm a pretty good judge because I feel the energy of the crowd a lot, right? And I can see how, and I ask them to do certain things, and sometimes I ask them to come closer so they're budging up together. And they're doing it so very willingly. So it seems to be, things are back. Now, how do we, you know, get a return on these shows? That's what you kind of were asking there too. It's definitely a challenge for some companies to stand out, especially if you might be in an industry that maybe you don't have something that has a lot of eye candy, or it's not very, you know, interesting. Like if you go to CES, which is the Consumer Electronics Show, that is the most eye candy of eye candy shows. Like everything's just happening at that, you know, there's so much fun stuff to see. But if you are, you know, one of my clients does a backup and replication for data, right? For companies, backup's kind of, it's kind of boring, right? So how do you make it more exciting? Well, that's what we do is, we have a team of certified infotainers, and infotainers, I admit, George, it's a bit of a made-up name, but it is, we convey your information in an entertaining and engaging way, right? So that's where it comes in. So we bring in our unique form of entertainment that is often magic, mentalism, mathematics, martial arts demonstrations, different visual metaphors that we can hang messaging on to make it memorable and making it exciting and build crowds of people on. So that's kind of how we help our clients, is by attracting attention, keeping them there, qualifying the people that are qualified leads, and then sending them on through the booth so that they can have that deeper, richer experience.
And Anders, I guess it's fair to say people who attend the trade show, not the display ones, but the people attend, they're going there because they want to learn. They want to find contacts.
They want to see what's new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're of the mindset that they do want to get something. However, they also, if they've been in the industry for a while, there are some parts of it that just bore them. They're not interesting. And that's where you come in.
Yeah. It's the idea to put kind of that healthy twist on something that is going to make people take notice of something that they probably would have walked right on by. Right. And here's the thing is that at a trade show, you could have a whale of a client, you know, a customer that is the perfect fit, who's got a huge budget, and you might never know because they you let them walk right on by, right? And so the idea is that we give a chance, give our clients a chance to be able to create that crowd, build it out, find those people that are that good fit, and then do that repeatedly throughout the day so that they're able to increase their presence, increase their leads, and generate an ROI at the end of the day.
Now, Anders, if you're doing your routine with the unicycle or the knives, I can see that that's going to grab attention. But then after so many seconds, people then say, okay, so what? Where do you go from there?
Yeah. And just to be clear, those are skills that I learned that I don't actually do at the trade shows. So those were, but I see what you're saying. So mostly we're doing magic and doing these different demonstrations and things. So one of the, what we call engagement drivers is, and we study engagement, and part of it is, you know, you could do a show and see if people come and attract to the booth, and then can you keep them? And why did this person walk away and all of that? So I always think of myself as a human A-B or split test, George, right? What I'm doing in this moment, is it working? Or is it not? And when it's working, it's kind of like you give yourself the pat on the back. And when it's not, you're like, I got to do something different, right? So we're always using contrast, which is an engagement driver, to create change, create difference, which keeps people's attention and captures attention. But the biggest engagement driver that will keep people at the booth is the relevance to them, right? So in our presentations, if it was just sheer entertainment, yeah, that's going to spike dopamine and make people want to be a part of something, but will it keep them around? Because after a while, they're just like, well, this is good and fun, but you know, what's in it for me, right? That's the relevance piece. So we always merge the messaging of the company and really delve into those prospects' potential problems, right? So if they're like, hey, how many people are experiencing A, B, and C? Raise your hand. And these people go, yeah, and they're nodding their head. We know we've got the right people in front of us. And then we then hint at the fact that we are going to show them the solution to that problem. So if they can get away from pain and go towards the pleasure of solving those problems, that's a big, you know, why for what's in it for them, right? They want to stick around. So it really comes down to making sure the presentation is geared towards your intended audience. Your intended message, right, is on point with your intended audience. And if that's that message to market fit, people are going to embrace what it is that's being said and want to watch it.
Now, let me see if I heard correctly there. So you do something with magic or something that grabs attention, engages their attention, and then you establish the irrelevance. And it could be as simple as who's experiencing this kind of problem or this kind of situation. Oh, okay, we got the right people because here's the solution. So you go from grab their attention, qualify them, and then provide the solution, which either interests them or doesn't.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, here, for the people who are watching, I'll describe what I'm going to do. For the people who are not watching, but I've got a Sharpie marker here, okay? And I'm just going to kind of balance it on my finger, and I'm going to let go on the other side. And you can see if you do something special and different, you can literally hold people spellbound in that moment, wondering what's going on. Now, in this moment right here, what's going on? And we'll just make it vanish and we'll get rid of it. But so for the people who are watching this Sharpie balanced in air, it had nothing to lean on except for my one finger at the far end. And it was just, it looked really freaky, looked a little weird. And in that instance, I was talking about holding people spellbound by doing something different, doing something unique that will capture people's attention. So just in that little moment, I was able to kind of talk about what I wanted to talk about, but also illustrate it with a visual metaphor. And so that's that combination of the messaging and the visual metaphors being message integrated and making sense. So go and watch the video so that that makes sense to you if you're listening to it now.
And the power of the visual metaphor, is that critical to engaging and conveying the message?
I definitely think there is. There's something about, it's something we call inductive learning. And when I say we, I just mean it is called inductive learning, is when you have to put it together in your head a little bit. And so what happens is when we're presenting something that is kind of illustrative, but maybe you have to make a little bit of a jump. You might have to go, oh, I get it. Or, oh, I see, that's clever, right? When you make that aha moment, you gain ownership over that messaging in your mind. But not only that, but because of that little leap and that aha moment, we're getting a little bit of a spike or like a bit of a mental sticky note in our minds to create a memorable moment, right? We're able to create peak states like that so that not only are people there and they're watching, but they're going to remember what happened and how they felt in that moment. And that's really, really powerful for brands and companies who want to be able to have that kind of mind share for people as they, you know, when they're going home, you know, what were the highlights of their time at this convention?
And so what I'm hearing is that it's one thing to be like a classroom teacher and simply give the students all the information. It's another thing to give them a visual where they are now challenged to think through, oh, that's how it works. Oh, and now because they figured it out themselves, they're more likely to remember and believe it.
You're right on, George. And there isn't a little bonus thing too that, you know, when I was holding up this Sharpie marker, is that when they've studied mirror neurons, you know, scan the brains, when you are hanging on to something that is a familiar object to you, and as you're looking at that Sharpie, and I'm hanging on to this, you understand what that feels like. And so using props in a presentation that are, you know, usual props that people have held in their hands actually will light up parts of their brain through those mirror neurons. So it's kind of like that familiarity of that object stimulates the viewer's brain and connects them with that speaker. So that's just another kind of tip. If you are a speaker, don't be afraid to use a prop, you know, something that fits in your hand, because you are actually connecting, you know, on that kind of, well, I want to say mental level, but right, that brain wave level, because of that, the firing of that familiar object. Yeah.
And familiar object. So if you are up there and you're sitting in a Ferrari and I'm thinking, I've never been in a Ferrari, I can't relate to that. But if you're sitting in a pickup truck, well, I can relate to that.
Yeah. And so relatability. Yeah.
Powerful message, you know. And if we did nothing else, I think we have so many valuable pieces here already. Anders, can you give us an example of a challenging situation for you where you had something that at first glance seemed terribly boring and somehow you transferred it in to make it more interesting to the audience?
Sure. One example, probably I'll go back to the one that we were talking about, backups, right? It's kind of like backups are just like just in case. And it's kind of like you need to have them, but you know, it's not really new and exciting and sexy or anything like that. And so when I started looking at how can I do this, how can I make this kind of more fun? One of the classic plots in magic is something that is destroyed and then brought back. And so that visual metaphor kind of came to mind. And so over the years for this company, I've done things where I take floss and I cut it up into a bunch of pieces. And we talk about all the little problems that might happen that might cause a disconnect, right? A lack of business continuity, right? And we'd cut these all up. And then we'd take the pieces and I kind of ball them up into a little ball and I hold one back and we kind of stick one to the other. And all of a sudden, I pull the ends and the whole thing is restored, right? And then we talk about that solution. So it was kind of like, oh yeah, no, that's perfect. Once you think about it, going back to where we started, where you want to be, having that peace of mind, knowing that you're protected, right? And so all of that, you know, kind of came together very nicely. And over the years, I've come up with a bunch of different angles, but that is just probably such a clear-cut example of, you know, how you can apply these visual metaphors and and make something a little bit more interesting for the viewers.
Mm, visual metaphor, what does that look like? And yes, when you describe that, I could see that image of cutting up the floss and then it coming back together, because, and now people go, oh, yes, that's the kind of safety I want for my data. I want the backups. I want to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And that's a simple prop and yet a powerful image that delivers the message. And so when people come and say, oh, well, we've got a boring product, we've got a boring service. Well, okay, let's find the visual. What's the visual that goes with that? Anders, when you work with clients now, you help get people to come to the booth or come to the presentation. Do you also work with them to help them how they act at the booth, how they act and speak and especially avoid some of the terrible mistakes I've seen at trade shows?
Yes, we definitely have created trainings, booth staff trainings, that were based on that need that you're talking about, that you see, you know, people not doing the right things. And it was frustrating for us because we stop a crowd, gather a crowd, do our presentation, have this call to action, lead them over to where they get the badges scanned. I'm like, where is everybody? Or like, can I get some help here, people? You know, I've been busting my butt for 20 minutes and now it's time to turn over this crowd. And so it was frustrating. So that was kind of born out of that frustration that we have what we call Engageify exhibitor training. Engageify is my company. And we can roll that out either in the booth before the show happens, which is great because you're in that environment where it's going to be taking place. We can do it as a live virtual training, you know, just like Zoom. And then we also have an on-demand training, right? Which is real bite-sized and anyone can take it. And we go over things and whenever I do trainings, it always feels like I'm just kind of saying, don't do this, don't do that. There's more to the training than this. But there are some behaviors that can deter engagement from passersby. So we don't want to do that. We don't want to, you know, stop that from happening, right? So the other day I was at a trade show, and this is probably a couple months ago when I say the other day, but I went up to a booth and I saw these two booth staff talking amongst themselves, and I stood there and I just read all the stuff on their booth, but I also had started a stopwatch on my watch to see how long it was going to take before they acknowledged me. And it was well over a minute. And as soon as they acknowledged me, I'm like, no, I'm good. And I just turned and left, right? But they didn't know how long I was there. But the fact that it took them that long to see, and again, we talked about this earlier, I could have been a big whale of a client, but they'll never know, right? So we don't want to deter that engagement. So one of the things is stay off your phones, right? So that we're head up and we're facing the aisles, right? Sometimes we cluster, which means you're talking amongst other booth staff, like that example. And so your shoulders start turning and then you're kind of ignoring what's walking by, right? You're not saying hi to the people that are walking by. Some people eat in a booth, right? And you're eating and then, or, you know, just the booth starts looking trashy. It's just not a good look, right? So, and then there's some other things too where you want to just make sure that you are on point with your messaging. Can you deliver, you know, that elevator pitch when people asked? Because you need to be confident and on point and ready to rock. Otherwise, people just like, you know, their confidence in possible solution or the company just goes, ooh, right? So there's lots of little details that you need to make sure are bang on so that we can stop people. Then we have another training where we actually take it up a level. So it's not just about deterring engagement that's coming, but being proactive and being the one to engage. So then you can start looking at what are some of the things that you can say as opening lines to make people stop, right? What are some of the ways that you can get them to come into the booth and take that deeper, richer experience, right? How do you incentivize that behavior? So there's kind of two levels. Usually the first level of not deterring and the things we want to avoid is the first training that we recommend companies do for their booth staff. And one last thing, George, I just want to say about this is training your booth staff. There's a stat, 85% of your success as an exhibitor will be because of your booth staff. And yet it's the number one thing that could help companies with the results. It's the last thing they ever spend money on. So if you're listening to this and you happen to be doing trade shows, do invest in your people. it is a face-to-face interaction. You know, this is the industry that you're in, so make sure you invest there.
And yes, people spend a lot of money for the booth space, and then they have a design agency create these displays and come up with them clever slogans, and they print flyers or they have some other kind of merchandise printed with their name on it, and they think, well, we did all that. But the real reason people are visiting the trade shows is because they want to talk to people. They want to go beyond. If they wanted a brochure, they would have just looked up online on your website or said, send me the brochure. But they're coming there because they want to talk to people. And yet, and I've seen that so many times when I've been to a trade show where, yeah, the staff is talking amongst themselves. And oh, they don't want to go there. Don't want to interrupt their conversation. Or they're eating their meal, but obviously I don't want to go there. That person is eating. I can't bother them. And all these things that people do that don't think of how it pushes people away. And what gives an idea of what people can say or what kind of language can they use to open a conversation with someone who's walking by and glancing, looking like they're not going to stop? What can you say to get them to stop?
Yeah, there's a bunch of different things you can try, and I get a kick out of trying to stop people just to see, right? And it's a little bit like flirting with everybody is the way I kind of look at it. So being playful, having a big smile on your face, you're having a good time, and that way no one's, you know, offended or anything like that. They can see you're being playful. Sometimes one great question is, hey, what's the best thing you've seen today? And they'll kind of stop and think, and they go, oh, you know, this booth's doing that kind of, oh, hey, that's very cool. I'll have to check that out. I've been stuck in the booth all day. I haven't seen it. And then they'll invariably look up at your booth and go, so what do you guys do? And there's your opening to do your elevator pitch, right? To talk about what your company does. Sometimes a sincere compliment is great, but it has to be sincere. It has to be a real thing. I remember just saying good morning to a gentleman walking by me. And he said, good morning. And I was like, whoa, you got like a radio voice. And he's like, oh, do you think? And then he stops and we have the conversation. And of course, oh, what do you guys do, right? And so then you come in with that elevator pitch. So just greeting people, my goodness, George, so many people will just let people walk by without any engagement or an attempt to, right? And if you just give yourself a chance by saying hello, you know, that's better than nothing, right? And then, but you might find things that stop people. I was explaining this to someone the other day that sometimes giving out a gift can stop people, right? Hey, did you get one of these? And especially if it's a giveaway that no one else is getting or giving out, chances are they didn't get one, right? And then they want to stop and get one. I worked for Siemens one time and they had these rugged connectors. And so basically a Cat 5 cable or an Ethernet cable, but with a metal connector on the end that you could basically plug it in the back of a computer and you'd be able to swing that sucker around your head like it was just so rugged. And so I had them cut a piece maybe a couple feet long and I wore it around my neck. And as people would walk by, I go, hey, have you seen this before? And they'll go, oh, wow, this is really hardcore. I'm like, yeah, you can make them right over there and you get a free screwdriver. Come on in. And I would just pull people off the aisle all day long because I could hand them something. And when you hand something to someone, they automatically just reach out and grab it, right? And then that started that interaction. That stopped those people. And I was able to then cross-sell or upsell their time and attention into a deeper, richer booth experience.
Anders, sitting or standing in a booth all day at a trade show, especially if it's more than one day, it doesn't sound like it's hard, but it's hard work and it wears people out. It can be boring at times because there's no one coming by. And then other times it's just strenuous. What do you recommend people do to keep their energy up?
Oh, good question. Well, for me, because I do use a lot of energy in my presentations, people are like, how do you do this? Well, part of it is you get a little bit into trade show shape, right? If you're doing them a lot. But, you know, it's the standing does, you know, hurt people and can be very draining. What I do recommend is when you do get breaks, go sit somewhere, because we don't recommend sitting in the booth. You know, go sit somewhere in your break. Ideally, if you can get outside, right? Get some sunlight on you, some fresh air. It's amazing what that kind of break can do to bring you back and just re-energize you, right? Drinking lots of water, of course, is a must, and not, you know, dehydrating yourself with the, you know, coffee and things that could be, you know, diuretics and that sort of thing. But basically just using your brakes effectively is kind of what I suggest. Some companies will have shifts of people coming in. Now, when I work a show, I work the whole day, right? So there'd be the morning shift. They'll be like, yeah, we're leaving. And it's like, oh yeah, it must be nice kind of thing. But if you do have shifts, understand that you are very lucky and in the minority of companies, you know, that staff their booths, right? So if that's the case, you're only working half the day, man, you should be able to really bring that energy. And good shoes too. Good shoes is a must because of, you know, the hard floors can kind of make your feet sore. So those are just a few tips of keeping your energy up.
Terrific ideas. For people who want to learn more about Anders and his services and how they can help you with their trade shows, you can visit his website. It is engageify.ai.
So we're not an artificial intelligence company. The AI stands for authentic interactions. And I know you can appreciate that, George. So it is engageify.ai, engageify.ai.
And you can find that link in the description below. Anders, as we prepare to wrap up, if you could sit down with a team leader that's about to head off to a trade show with their team, and they haven't been wise enough to hire you to help them out, but if you could still give them one, two, or three pieces of advice that they can share with their team, what might be that one, two, or three pieces of advice?
Yeah, I would definitely say that, you know, to do a little talk before the show, to talk about expectations and goals and unite the team around what is that, you know, what is the objective that they have in front of them. If they want to kind of mention a few do's or don'ts, to do at least a basic training, that would be a good idea. And then the last piece I think I would say, George, is to really go for it. It's like swing for the fences the entire show, because so many people on that last day, they phone it in. They phone it in and nobody tries. And I find the last day is my favorite day because we still go for it and we can build sometimes bigger crowds than we did on the other days because everyone else stopped trying. So, you know, really wring every dollar of value out of your trade show investments by working the entire 3 or 4 days, however long the show is.
Powerful advice. My guest today is Anders Boulanger, reminding you that when it's your turn to be in the booth, think of it as flirting with everyone.
If you like what you heard, tell your friends and post your 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, because that helps more listeners find us. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok. We'll be right back.